This is the Jaguar Scoreboard Show.
Jaguar Scoreboard Show.
JP Shadrick and Mike Dempsey look back at today's Jaguars game, as well as the rest of the NFL, and take your phone calls. The Jaguars Scoreboard Show is brought to you by Brooks Rehabilitation, Farrah & Farrah, Geico, Baptist Health, Ticket Exchange, and by Everbank. The Jaguars Scoreboard Show begins right now.
This will be a happy scoreboard show as the Jaguars beat the Giants 25-24. JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey from the HananiaAutos.com studio at Everbank Field. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Get in your thoughts after the Jaguars rally on defense. They were trailing 21-0 in this game and won 25-24. Incredible.
Yeah, I think we've forgotten how to do a victorious postgame.
I don't even know what to say right now.
We haven't done too many of these.
I don't know what to do with my hands.
This is fantastic. We're not clenching them in fists right now. Blake Bortles in the postgame, JP, made a good point. I know he deflects praise, but he said this is really a three-phase victory today. Offense, defense, special teams all made plays that contributed to this, and I think he's right. And we always say, doesn't matter how you get it, a victory is the most important thing, and that's true, but if you had your druthers for this team in the position that they're in, to have the defense stepping up, making those plays, the offense struggling so mightily to come up with the touchdown to Marquise Lee and then to drive them down, all you're asking is a field goal drive. You had plenty of time on the clock. Blake Bortles able to make plays with his arm and with his legs on that drive, and the Jags converted, picked up a number of first downs. It was, if you could have scripted it, you would have wanted that situation to have the offense, even though the defense had carried them to that point for the most part, put the final nail in the Giants' coffin. I thought that was big for this team to, you know, have them keep having that spirit of we're all in this together, because they've not shown any signs of finger pointing. But eventually, if the defense had continued to play at a ridiculously high level and the offense couldn't do their part, you got to wonder when that comes in. It's human nature in a locker room, I think. The Jags have done a great job avoiding that. And this win, the way it happened, I think can go a long way to keeping that at bay for the rest of the year.
This game turned right at the start of the second half. It was 21-3. The Jaguars had a 9-play drive and had to punt it away. And that was kind of a bummer, because you felt you'd maybe get some momentum, get something going offensively, get some points to start the second half. But then right away, sack, fumble. JT Thomas recovered it in the end zone, 21-10, and that started the ball rolling at least. And then a missed field goal later by the Giants just kept it that close. Jags take advantage on offense, get the touchdown to Lee, and then another, that great play by Colvin to force the fumble, pick it up, run it in for a long touchdown as well. So, but that one, that the sack fumble into the end zone, got it all started, and that changed the momentum.
Yeah, we're looking for that spark, that explosive play. Typically, we're talking about offensive plays of 20 yards or more, but an explosive play, a sack fumble, is an explosive play. It's a possession changer to have that ball rolling around in the end zone. And you know what? If you end up getting a safety out of that, it's good, but it's not quite the same. You get that quick 7 points on the board like they did, and then you get the explosive play with, what was it, a 41-yard fumble return for Aaron Colvin to make that. And it was funny to watch him pick that up and kind of almost shove a linebacker out of the way as if to say, buddy, I got this. All right, I got the speed here, and I got an open lane to the end zone. What a great impact he's made now just in a couple weeks coming in. That play will be remembered for a while by Jaguar fans, to be sure. So, hey, bottom line, 21-0, reminds me of Larry Munson, the call with the run Lindsey play back in the day, where he said, it was over, I gave up, so did you. Don't tell me there weren't a lot of people out there at 21-0 who thought this game is over. And biggest comeback in team history. First time they scored 2 defensive touchdowns.
I'm not going to say there's going to be property destroyed tonight. We're not going that far.
No, let's hope nobody destroys any property. But you know what? There may have been some property destroyed in the visitors' locker room after this one today.
I think so.
As far as that goes. All right, if you want to get on board, victorious Jaguar postgame. The way to do it, 355-NFL-1, 355-6351, and outside the 904 area, of course, just put that 1-800 in front, 1-800-355-6351. Let's start things off with Jonathan calling in from Tallahassee today. Find out what's on his mind. Jonathan, thanks for calling the postgame. How are you?
Well, guys, I'm excited, and I'm really happy that we won another game. At least we're no longer the we're no longer the worst team in the league. That would be Oakland now.
I think
thank goodness.
Oakland firmly cemented that one today with a 52-0 loss. Yeah. So.
Yeah, we can all laugh at Oakland now.
Well, small step in the right direction, Jonathan. You're right. You know what?
Yeah. Here's what I'd like to see. I'd like to see. I'm proud of what we did today. I just think I'd like to see a little more consistency on the offensive side, but the defense really stepped up their game today on our side. They really did. With those getting to Eli Manning, they took strides, and I think they're starting to get it a little bit more. But when we were down 21-0, I was like, man, this thing's over. I was really nervous. But then when I saw like 21-16, I was like, okay, we might have a chance to come back and actually win this thing.
Yep, Jonathan, I think probably a lot of people felt the same way at 21-0. JP, the offensive inconsistency is not going to get fixed overnight. It's not going to get fixed probably in these final four games. In terms of nitpicking things like that, I don't think this team is at that level yet. I think I would imagine most people are reveling in the fact that they were able to put enough of it together. That's the NFL, man. You're not going to, you know, sometimes you click on all cylinders today. If Fitzpatrick throws 6 touchdowns for Houston, it's not very often like that. There are tons of games just like this. Baltimore is leading San Diego the whole day. They're living in the red zone.
That's right.
Chargers come back, steal a 1-point victory that counts as much as any other win you could possibly get.
Well, Philip Rivers is pretty good, too.
He's pretty good. I'm just saying.
I'm with you.
You know what I mean? I mean, it's like it doesn't always have to be pretty in the NFL. The win, there's no game control stat, and there's no margin of victory. There's no polling here.
As we know well, it's not often pretty.
That's true.
In the NFL.
Let's go to Saqib on the south side next up here on the postgame show. Hi, Saqib. How are you?
Hey, boys. How you doing?
What's up?
You know, you guys nailed it. I was sitting in section 103, right? And we're down 21-0. I was about to walk out. I really was. I was like, this is ridiculous. Not even one first down, but I'm so happy for the guys. They never quit. Usually Jaguars quit when they're down 21-0. I've never seen them come back like this in a long time. And I'm really proud of Blake Bortles. No turnovers, no interceptions. I mean, they did a wonderful job. They just got to block for him just a little better because this kid is getting killed. And they got to roll him out. They got to do whatever it takes to get it done. But I'm really happy for the guys. And it was overjoyed to see those Giants fans cry like little babies. I was really happy for
that. That's one word for him. Thank you, Saqib.
Yeah.
Saqib is generally, we feel like we got to talk him off the ledge on a weekly basis. So I'm glad that he can express a little optimism and
maybe we even
happiness.
Did in the halftime show. Maybe you know what I mean? Like it was 21-0. Maybe we talked him to stay in and we'll take credit for
maybe
that
was it. Yeah. I don't know.
You're welcome, Saqib.
But he makes a good point. 7 sacks allowed by the Jags today is too many, and you're going to get your quarterback killed doing that. Blake's a big, young, strong guy, but you don't want him taking that many hits.
It seemed like a lot of those were around Jokel today, too.
Well, he certainly had the one where Jason Pierre-Paul just ran around him. I mean, I think he timed the snap perfectly. There was a discussion on the broadcast. Did he jump the snap or not? It looked to me like he just timed it up very quickly, and Jokel barely got a finger on him as he ran right around him. Those are the ones you hate to see. At least get a push and make that guy take an extra step or two to get to your quarterback. Sometimes that's the difference between getting the ball off or not.
Phone lines open, 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. We'll come back in a moment with more of your calls and some scores of the late games today. Jaguars win it 25-24 over the Giants. More of the Scoreboard Show coming up on Jaguars Radio.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show continues right now.
Jags win 25-24 over the New York Giants. JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, this is the Scoreboard Show. Phone lines open, 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. One note before we get to some more calls. This is a new franchise record for largest deficit overcome for a victory. Previous record was 15 points. They trailed the Ravens in 1996. Ended up winning that game 28-25. Jags trailed today 21-0. And won it 25-24 over the Giants.
Got them right where we want them, 21-0.
Just right where we want them a lot.
Right where we want you, New York Giants. and all your fans who are probably not tuned in right now because you're depressed. And that's okay. We'll take all the Jag fans on the line right now.
You know who's not depressed? The folks on the line.
The folks on the line are not depressed. Are you kidding me? 355-NFL-1, let's go out to Allentown, Pennsylvania, where John is calling in from. John, hello. You're on the Scoreboard Show. How are you?
Hi, Mike. Hi, JP. How are you guys doing?
What's
tonight?
Up?
We're good. What's going on?
Well, so I am actually, I'm from Allentown, or I live in Allentown now, but I actually drove down to see my kids this weekend. So if I have to drive down every home game weekend for the Jaguars to win, I may be game for that if someone pockets or picks up the dime. But
were you here for the Browns game too?
I'm sorry?
Were you here for the Browns game too?
I was here for the Browns
game. See? Well, it's a trend now.
Well, so then.
You can't break that.
No. So, really, I'd love to be a fly on the wall in the locker room at halftime because the defense came out and played, you know, it was a different defense. Just be nice to see if these guys could play that way for a full 60 minutes as opposed to just 30 minutes. And it's the same with the offense, hit or miss or special teams. But it would really be nice to see these guys play full for a full 60 minutes. I'd like to take your comments off the air. I appreciate it.
All right, sure, man. Thanks. Glad you made the trip. Glad you enjoyed a Jaguar victory. The way it went, JP, like it was almost the reverse of last week, right? Last week they got all the pressure in the first half, and then things kind of faded when the offense couldn't really do anything. Here, the defense started slow on their own, and they didn't get any pressure on Eli Manning. And that was the one thing we said about him. You can rattle him if you get around him, if you get around his feet, if you hit him. They weren't able to do that in the first half. He was able to sit back and pretty much methodically move the team down the field, particularly on that one ridiculous drive of 19 plays. But then I'd rather have it this way, where they close the game strongly. You know, you don't want to fall behind 21 to nothing. And I agree, if you can get more consistent play throughout, you're going to have a better chance. But the defense has kept them in the majority of bowl games this year.
No doubt.
And how many times have we said, just get your point total up in the 20s and you're going to win a lot of football games? We saw it today. And they were able to pull one out. There you go.
Defense.
Charles on the south side. You're next up here on the Scoreboard Show. How are you?
Turn your radio down.
Make that. I think that's Matthew in Fernandina. Matthew, is that you?
Yeah.
Hey, what's up?
What's up?
Turn your radio
Matthew,
down.
Matthew, you got to turn your radio off.
Oh, I did.
All right. There it is. What's up, man?
I was there. 103-15.
Can't hear you, Matthew.
Yep.
All right.
He's gone.
We'll try him back later, maybe. Kathy in Argyle, you're next up here on the Scoreboard Show. How are you?
I'm doing great, Mike. Great victory. And I just want to say that Jackie wanted to leave before halftime, and I said, what if they have a miracle comeback?
You see? You miss miracles. You miss miracles when you go home early.
We stayed for the whole game. It was a great feeling, but you're so right. The O-line, Joko. Oh, my God. It's sad. And, I mean, the holding penalty, I mean, just everything he has done lately has been so wrong. And, I mean, the O-line, ugh. It's so, like Jackie says, it's the only thing holding us back. Defense is outstanding.
Well, more on Jokel. I mean, remember Lagerman and Baselli during the game broadcast today didn't agree with either one of the holding calls, which I don't know if you'd expect them to or not, but you know, they said they were both kind of ticky-tack and not true holding calls, but they were called holding. So
certainly on the one, something he had a fistful of Jason Pierre-Paul's jersey for a brief instant. But, you know, so I guess by the letter of the law, you can call that holding. I would imagine there's a lot of that gets overlooked or you're going to call holding on practically every play.
I would like to think, though, that Tony would know the difference of what should be called and shouldn't, you know?
So, I'm not arguing with him.
I'm with you. And so that's the frustrating part about that.
It didn't appear – I, you know, we'll wait till later in the week when some of these guys get a chance to break down the game film and we'll really get a more accurate picture. It didn't appear Joko had a great game today, but it's much easier to deal with that in victory than it is pointing that out as one of the many reasons why you came up short.
I agree with that.
Thank you, sir.
That's a great point.
Thank you very much.
You're
Let's
welcome.
Go to David in Orange Park next up here on the Scoreboard Show. Hi, David. How are you?
Hey, Mike. Hey, almost jinxed us. Almost didn't start Eli Manning today, so I went on and took the fantasy football proverbial bullet and started Eli, and thank you, Eli, for having a crappy game.
There you go. That's what you got to do sometimes.
Well done.
Sacrifice one of the fantasy gods.
Hey, but you know what? I got a question. One thing I got a question, some of our coaching today. Well, I was happy to see they finally got Blake out of the pocket, which let the receivers, you know, run their routes a little bit more, and he kind of freed us up a little bit. But I still question that two going for two in the middle of the third quarter. That almost came back and bit us. You know, I just want to know what your comment is on that, and I'll pick it off the air.
Yeah, you know, that was there were 2 minutes left in the third quarter, JP.
Yeah,
we talked about
we
it.
We went
in the room.
Back and forth on this.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I understand what he's doing. It really tells you where the state of the offense has been with this football team, that because nobody at that point in time, you make it a 4-point game, because then if the other team comes down and kicks a field goal, it's a 7-point game. You don't have to do anything heroic, just score a touchdown with an extra point. And as it turned out, it kind of would have played out that way for the Jags, but that just goes to show you with 17 minutes left in the game, Gus Bradley's like, well, maybe we can mount a field goal drive and we can tie this thing up. I mean, that is really where his mind was. He didn't think this team, I don't think, that the offense was going to put together too many long scoring drives. Tough to anticipate the second defensive touchdown there, but that's a move that not many coaches would make. And had they lost by a couple of points, there would have been great debate about that decision.
I remember, they did go three and out a couple of times after that touchdown to Lee, too. So
hey, look, he's watching the same offense that we are. And so it wasn't so... It didn't stand out so much that you'd say, wow, that's really peculiar, say if Green Bay had done that or something like that, because you know about the struggles of this offense. He's thinking, look, you know, this may be the only chance we had to pull it within three. If we could somehow scrape together a field goal, send this thing to overtime, you never know what's going to happen in that circumstance. I mean, that had to be what he was thinking going down the line.
But to that point you just made on the last call, too, that's something that you don't have to worry about because it's a win.
Right. That's you know what? We could sit there and say, hey, you know what? Maybe you correct that next time. Maybe you'll learn from that, but you'll learn from that in victory.
That's right.
So much easier going down. All right, let's get one more in here, yep. I think, before we take a timeout. Let's go to Autumn in Lakewood next up on the Scoreboard Show. Hi, Autumn.
Hi, Mike and JP. This is Autumn.
How are you?
How are you guys doing?
Good.
I have just one comment. D-line really, really stepped up in the second half, and I just want to know when we're going to see the same cohesiveness and fire from the offensive line, when they're going to stand up and actually push those defenses back.
Sure. It's a different beast, obviously. Offensive line's about control and timing, and certainly there is some explosion in there when you're trying to just move people off the football, but every time you pass – you are taking steps backwards. It's different. The D-line is coming in. They're in attack mode the entire time, so it's a different mindset depending on what you're doing. But clearly the D-line is maybe the best unit on the football team. That's what we thought going into the season, though, JP, and it's just coming to pass.
Veteran group. I mean, yeah. It's the most veteran group on the team. They go out and get free agents in that position, Clemens and Red Bryant and Ziggy Hood. They can contribute right away, and this is the kind of the blueprint for that group.
If you're looking for this O-line to play to the level that the D-line is currently playing at this year, you're not going to get it, you know. And maybe next year they can, with you know, some more time and some more additions to that unit, they'll get there. But the D-line is just a better unit on this football team.
Bueller Swiss Watch Company is proud to be the official watch of the Jags. Bueller Swiss Watch is available at J. Roberts Jewelers in Jacksonville and Park Jewelers in Lake Mary. More of your calls when we come back. 355-NFL-1. 355-6351. We'll look at some scores from around week 13 as well. The active games, we didn't get to that a moment ago. We will coming up. Final score here, though. 25-24. Jags over the Giants on Jaguars Radio.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show, continues right now.
Hey, Jags fans, score some great deals. See your Southern Ford dealer today. Proud partner of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Ford, go further. 25-24. Late field goal for Scobie gets it done. Not only that, but everybody's eating Firehouse subs. We'll get to that coming up.
Yes, let's.
25-24. Jags are 2-10. Two home wins for the first time since the 2011 season.
Isn't that crazy?
Kind of hard to fathom.
I mean, look, good for the Jag fans that are continuing to turn out today. You had plenty of options today. It was as gorgeous a day as you'll probably have here on the First Coast for the rest of the year. So this gives you reason. Come on out next Sunday and watch Fred Taylor's guarantee come true.
Yeah, he guaranteed it. Best defensive player in football will be here, J.J. Watt. And the Jags coming off their second win of the season. See if their defense can play well against Fitzpatrick, who is hot today. So a lot to look forward to next week.
Well, you're going
to
get a full dose of Sendarek Marks in Ryan Fitzpatrick's face.
I like that.
Next week. J.J. may be the best, but I tell you what, Sendarek is having a hell of a year for an interior defensive lineman. And the shame of it is, and Fred mentioned, you know, he'll probably get to Pro Bowl recognition. He wants to make all the Pro Bowls like Stroud did. It's tough in this market with the team's record to get that recognition, but he is every bit deserving of consideration to go to the Pro Bowl.
Well, you know how this goes, though. If he doesn't get the original nod, guys go away, something happens, an injury, this or that. That's how Poslesny got in last year.
True.
Like a second alternate or something. So
he's playing well enough to start.
Absolutely.
The Pro Bowl. He's having that kind of
but
year.
Considering that how the voting goes because of the record, I'd be really surprised if he continues this play if he doesn't go.
All right. Quickly, scores right now, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
At the half.
There are other games going.
You got Atlanta over Arizona 20-10 at the half. And that one, Julio Jones with a touchdown. Matt Ryan's thrown two. And New England just got a touchdown pass from Tom Brady to Brandon LaFell. Extra point going up right now. They'll make it 16-14. Green Bay on top of the Patriots in Lambeau Field. Only
good
two
game.
Afternoon games going on.
Good game.
Yeah, like you said earlier, possible Super Bowl preview there. Let's go to Daniel in Lake City, 355-NFL-1, 355-6351, if you'd like to get on board. Daniel, thanks for the call. How are you?
Hey, guys. I'm doing great.
I bet you are.
I am doing great. I can tell the Jags had a great day because the traffic's terrible coming out of the stadium.
There you go. Everyone hung around to the bitter end.
That's it. But listen, I wanted to give a shout out to a guy who I think has been really a lot of negativity has been heaped on this year, is Brian Anger. I thought Anger really won the field position battle for us today. I think that one punt that I think he boomed for like 64 or 65 yards in which he completely outkicked his coverage really symbolizes the fact that Anger is an excellent punter. It's not that he doesn't have the leg. The entire special teams unit definitely improved today. But I really wanted to give him some credit because he pinned him deep when we really needed to have him pinned deep. And as a matter of fact, the one defensive touchdown we had was a direct result of how far Anger pinned them inside the 10-yard line. And I'll take your comments off the air.
Yeah, it hasn't been the most consistent season for Anger. You're right. There have been some shanks here, not as long of punts as you would expect from him from the season's past, but his long day of 66, that was the boomer he was talking about. But it was returned a good bit, too, because
yeah.
His kick's so long. Average today of 52.4, net of 45.5 or so, 7 punts today. So, yeah, good for Anger.
He did a nice job. I think he would tell you himself there was room for improvement. The one that he pinned the Giants at the 9-yard line, that ball trickled out of bounds. It was not a great kick. It bounced short, and the Giants let it roll, and it rolled, you know, took a Jaguar roll out of bounds. So, you know, sometimes you need those kind of breaks, though. We've been asking a lot for him to be a little bit more directional, pin teams back, not just let it go. And overall, you know, that's part of the reason the special teams got a nod after the game as well for their contributions. And really, let's as automatic as it's been in years past, let's not forget Scobie. At this point, that length field goal is no short thing for this football team.
No
So it was good to see him pound that thing through for the victory as well on special teams. Bryce in Ponte Vedra. You're next up on the Scoreboard Show. How are you?
Hey, good, I think. I don't know. I'm confused. What's this, like, weird?
Jags won, Bryce. It happened. Like, you're not sleeping. You didn't just wake up. The Jags did win today against the New York Giants.
I was going to give up on football after seeing, you know, another Gator meltdown yesterday and seeing that first quarter, but, man, I'm stoked. I just want to chime in a few tidbits, some observations. I thought, first off, I thought Josh Evans seemed to be playing a little bit better. I love seeing the after the locker room, how happy Gus Bradley and the guys were, like, jumping around. It was like, I can't imagine, you know, I'm sure the Patriots, you know, don't do that after wins these days. So super good to see that. And then third, I liked Marquise Lee today. I felt like he seemed more invested, like maybe this was a turning point. There was a time where he went two downs in a row, they went to him, and it seemed like he felt like he was the go-to guy for a minute, and like he maybe took ownership more than normal, and finally, like, you know, is in this thing. And I'm hoping that we're going to see productivity out of him from now on out. What do you guys think? I'll take your comments up here.
Yeah, it gave themselves, you know, over the last couple of weeks, a decent base to build off of with him. JP, they took the guy where they took him for a reason, right? They never thought he was going to be sitting there at the top of the second round. Nobody's down on Marquise Lee here, all right, in terms of the organization. As you hear, everyone will tell you he's the fastest guy on the team. You've seen a little of that burst now the last couple weeks, starting to play a little bit faster, which is great. And it has taken him a while, but go over the litany. Look at Cecil Shorts, his first year. He caught two passes. So, you know, Marquise Lee is well ahead of that curve by that standpoint. This guy is a big part of the Jaguars' passing game future. There's no question about it.
Well, you see how he responds when he has to, too. I mean, Allen Robinson's down for the year now. He's stepped into that role. He has to perform, and it's all kind of coming together in a perfect end of the season for him. He's more comfortable in the offense now. He's healthy, and he has an opportunity to play and certainly be on the field. You know, he was kind of the odd man out. When everybody else is playing well, you can't take those guys off.
And he's a guy that you should expect would not shrink from a spotlight. He played at Southern Cal. He won the Biletnikoff Award. I mean, the guy has been recognized since very early in his college career as one of the best up-and-coming receivers in the country. So let's hope that, you know, over the next four games, he continues to build and gives himself a great jumping-off point for next year. Going to Josh Evans quickly, the thought there. I mean, he missed that tackle on Odell Beckham. He came charging up to the line and kind of dove at him and could have stopped him for no gain or maybe a yard loss, and that went for a big play. Got pulled out of the game for Sherrod Martin at that point. Came back in, did a nice job a little bit later on, came up and blew up a play at the line of scrimmage. Very similar play. This time he was able to make the tackle, so bounced back a little bit. And I love watching the locker room as well. We saw out of the corner of our eye here on the TV, they showed the Jags. You couldn't hear what was going on, but you could see the look on those guys' faces. And, you know, for this team, they're two wins now. To give a game ball to the head coach after the second win because he didn't stop believing in them, well, it's easy for them to stop believing in him, too. There's no fracturing here, I think, is the key. And that's why I think we want to see this happen with this regime in place. You know, it's these guys that the players like, the fan base likes. Everybody is – there's such a feel-good aspect to it. They've got to win games. But you want it to – I don't want to be cliche, but you want to see good things happen for good people.
Yeah, that's about right. That's a good way to put it. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. When we return, more of your calls. We'll update the 4 o'clock game scores. A couple of good ones going on now. One in primetime a little later tonight should be a good one as well. Good one here today. The Jaguars over the Giants 25-24. Back after this on Jaguars Radio.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show, continues right now.
The Jaguars are 2-10. They've won two home games in a season for the first time since the 2011 campaign. They beat the Giants today 25-24, the largest deficit overcome for a win in franchise history. They were down 21-0 today. Previous high was 15. Got it done.
That's amazing.
Really remarkable. And the way this game turned, too. I mean, it was 21-0, and it wasn't even close.
21-0 with an offense that you thought, come on, this team can't score 21 points, right? Well, it took the defense. We said the defense has been taking it to a certain level. As Tony Piselli said in the pregame, you know what? You got it to this level. You're playing fantastic defense. You only allow 6 points. Now, well, that's not good enough. Allow only three. Allow none. You know, don't worry about what the offense is doing. Take this on yourself to do as much as you possibly can. And they did, and they scored off of their own turnovers, which I thought was huge. But then the point I'm going to keep coming back to is the fact that the offense closed this game out and got the field goal and drove them down there is going to be the best thing to bring this team together that we've seen in a long time.
Bortles time, man. When the game's on the line and it's a two-minute type of situation, that's the guy you want.
When it's a little helter-skelter, right? When it's a little frenetic, when the pace is a little quicker, he seems to play his best.
Not Gene frenetic. Different.
All right, fine. just frenetic, not frenetic. Yes.
There we go. Remember, field goals for Firehouse. When the Jags kick a 40-plus yard field goal, you get a free medium Firehouse sub with your chip and drink purchase. Register at jaguars.com/firehousesubs. The game winner was not only a game winner, it was a sub winner today.
Now,
43 yards.
First of all, tip of the cap to Toby Gerhart, okay? That was a 39-yard field goal attempt until Toby gets stuffed for a 4-yard loss on the previous play. So,
you know Pete Prisco is going to say the same thing
if you're
night.
Eating well today, courtesy of Firehouse Subs, you have to thank the play design, the play call, the fact. He didn't have to – he gave a little more margin for error than necessary. But, JP, I noticed these things, and you know what? I want people to go home happy and with full bellies on top of that. So, good for Scobie. And, honestly, I hope that one kick it had to be in his head, right? I mean, the whole unit, whether it's him kicking it low, the pressure getting in there, to come up in that situation, you haven't had one this big since you tried to beat Tennessee on the last play of the game, and to belt that thing down the middle and have pressure.
Yeah, you don't have Pastor in the game. He's normally on the unit. You know, it's like, come on now.
That was big. It shouldn't be that big. A simple 43-yard field goal in the NFL when you're lined up down the middle, you should make most of those.
I'm guessing he was the only unit. I'm not saying for sure he was on it, but if you know he wasn't in the game, I would guess that most of those guys are on that field goal protection unit. So, yes, and like I said on the final drive, I'd rather punch the thing in just because of all that has happened this
right.
year. But it worked out, and they fought through it and got it done today.
Really odd, too, and we sit here, and it's always I think one of the biggest things you second guess about coaches is how they use their timeouts. And if I'm the Giants, I'm saving time there because the Jags were not going to run out of time. They were either going to run it down and try to kick a field goal to win it once they got in within a comfortable distance. It wasn't going to be a case of they were scrambling. They were well within the range where they had all the time they needed. The Giants needed to conserve time. I never understand why coaches wait so long sometimes, but they did, and it worked out to the Jags' benefit.
Couple of scores. Halftime now at Lambeau Field. Packers 23-14 over the Patriots. Third quarter, the Falcons lead the Cardinals. How about that? 20-10. That game is in Atlanta. Broncos Chiefs coming up a little bit later. When we return, the final segment of the Scoreboard Show. Jaguars win 25-24 over the Giants. Seventh straight loss for New York. The Jags are now 2-10. We'll close it out after this on Jaguars Radio.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show continues right now.
Jags win 25-24 over the Giants. The JTA's new route optimization initiative will provide reliable service, increase bus frequency, rename routes, and decrease travel time starting tomorrow, December 1st. For more information, visit jtafla.com or call 904-630-3100. Welcome back to the Scoreboard Show, final segment. We need to get into an injury report presented by Baptist Health System, changing health care for good. A few nicks today. Pastor went down with a hamstring injury. Andre Branch, groin injury again. Kari Fort, the linebacker, with a hamstring injury. Lead limped off late in that ball game, the last drive. Not sure the severity there, but you don't want to see those that many names at all on the injury report on a postgame show.
No, you don't. And Jags have had their share of losses, but everybody has at this point in the NFL season. So you hope Pastor is not going to be a big deal because you need that's a pretty good pass rush coming to town next week with J.J. Watt at the helm there. And Marquise Lee, just to, you know, it's more to continue his development, his rapport with Blake Bortles. As many reps as they can get over this last month are going to be important.
Moving forward, the Houston Texans come into Everbank Field next week. It's a 1 o'clock kick, and the Jags are coming off a win. The Texans had a big win today with Fitzpatrick back at the helm at quarterback. A bunch of touchdowns today for him. The defense, of course, playing well for Houston. Good test next week for the Jags.
Well, certainly. I mean, they're coming off a performance where Ryan Fitzpatrick threw 6 touchdowns today, and they're still in the playoff hunt. So, I mean, they may have to win out to realistically have a shot to get in with as many teams that already started the day with 7 wins in the AFC. But with Baltimore losing late, with Pittsburgh losing, with Cleveland losing, that makes things a little bit easier for Houston to get right there in the mix in the wild card. San Diego pulling out that win, they get to 8 wins. If KC loses tonight, then you basically have Houston just a game out of the wild card coming in next week.
Yeah, the Colts are now 8-4 with that win today over the Redskins, so they're in control of the division. So it'd be a long shot. I mean, the Texans have to win out and get some help to get the division itself.
Yeah, Fred Taylor thinks that Houston will not be able to handle the Jags' D-line next week, and very well may be the case. You know, I mean, it's so week to week, JP. We saw what Dallas did to the Jags. We saw the Giants go toe-to-toe and look like they're going to beat the Cowboys for a while. And then, you know, you come back here and the Jags pull off this comeback win against the Giants. There's no rhyme or reason to say A beat B, B beat C. That means A will beat C. It's not always the case. So great opportunity for a Jags against a team that they beat twice last year. They, you know, they feel like maybe they have their number. We'll see if they can pull off win number 3 next week.
I like it. Texans are 6-6. Jags are 2-10. It's a 1 o'clock kick next Sunday. We'll go on air at 10 o'clock locally with the Publix Tailgate Show, 12 noon with Countdown to Kickoff on the network. Well done, Mike. We'll talk to you this week.
You got it.
For Mike Dempsey and everyone involved, our thanks to Tony Smith, Linda Fortunato, Joe Fortunato. This is JP Shadrick saying good evening. Jags win it 25-24 over the New York Giants. Stay tuned. The fifth quarter show with T-Wig and Hacker is coming up. Jags win it on Jaguars Radio.